This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please support the show by going to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. We appreciate your support. You can get exclusive bonus episodes and ad-free episodes. Mm-hmm. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We did get one message that I wanted to read now. Usually we read reviews or something at the end of the show, but someone sent a really nice thing that I wanted to share. This is from Aaron,
who said,
I've been listening to the show since shortly before I got kicked out of Bob Jones University in 2019.
Wow.
You two are a couple of my favorite people. And he said specifically, Jess, you're one of my favorite people. Listening to you was the first real exposure I got to feminism.
Really?
And
yikes.
It was much needed, he says, for this very privileged, probably mostly straight, white dude.
Hey, explore that, my dude. It's 2024.
But we appreciate your messages.
That was really kind. Thank you for saying that.
Did you, before we start with all the craziness, did you have a good New Year?
Mikey and I had a huge night. We watched all three Fifty Shades of Grey movies
because lost a bet.
I mean, honestly, because they're doing it on How Did This Get Made soon, and I had said, like, we should watch, like, a trilogy or a miniseries. And then tonight, I'm eating frozen pizza with my husband, and I was like, oh, we should watch a movie. And he goes, do you have time? And I was like, for what? And he was like, you're recording tonight. And when I tell you, my stomach dropped to my feet. I was so looking forward to a night off. But good news, I have a lot of shit to talk about on bonus.
Nice. Me and my children also watched the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy.
Oh, yeah. They told me about that.
I know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's start with some happy news. Kim Davis has lost again. Why is she still in the news is the correct response to that thing. So Kim Davis, for those who magically became atheists in the last 3 minutes, she is the former Rowan County, Kentucky clerk.
At this point, it's like 9 years old.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I just aged a million years.
Yeah. Kim Davis was 12 when this story began.
I've been talking about this idiot for 9 years, right? Because 2015 is when it kicked off.
In 2015.
This is miserable. Okay.
She was a county clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky. One job was sign marriage licenses for any couple, and this was shortly after Obergefell.
She hasn't changed her hair in 9 years. I can't help but notice.
Higher
the hair, closer to God.
So she refused to sign marriage licenses for several, I think, same-sex couples who had already, two of them ended up filing a lawsuit over this.
Ooh.
And to shorten the nine-year gap between then and now, she has already had to pay, according to a jury, she was found guilty of violating their rights. She had to pay $100,000 to one of the couples whose civil rights she blocked. There was a separate jury trial for the other couple that sued her.
Uh-huh.
That jury did not punish Kim Davis for reasons they decide on their own. But this
God
one,
will punish her.
Yeah, right. But this one couple, she owed them $100,000. That happened several months ago.
Right.
Here's the new information. Now it's back in front of the judge, and the judge has to decide what the attorney's fees are, because her side also has to pay the other side's legal fees.
Correct. That's what happens.
And this is not up to a jury. This is up to the judge. And this is the same judge who ruled last year that she broke the law when she refused to do her job. Because I don't care if you're Christian, your job is a government employee, so you have to do the job. And because same-sex marriage is legal in 2015, your job says you got to sign their marriage license because there was no reason not to. That was Judge David Bunning, U.S. District Judge David Bunning. He did that in 2022. So last September, all of these arguments, actually, I should say, the whole case is in front of this judge.
You all right?
And I was trying to figure
He's
out.
Stroking out a little bit, bud?
Did I already say this? And I kind of did.
Okay.
So now, what the same-sex couple, their lawyers said, we need about, I'm rounding here, $250,000 in attorney's fees and about $14,000 in expenses.
Okay.
That was what they submitted. That's their paperwork. Because they said, we've had to do a lot of shit over 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a lot of time. There were a lot of attorneys involved in this. So here's our bill.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Davis's team, her attorneys are represented by Liberty Counsel, the right-wing hate group.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to say, nah, you really only need $100,000. So that's the game we were playing here.
Is it going to be? They're playing lawyer chicken.
Yeah. Is it going to be $264,000 or is it going to be $100,000 or somewhere in between?
Oh boy.
And the beauty here is Judge Bunning didn't buy any of the Kim Davis team's arguments. And reading his, like, 14-page decision of, like, all right, here's what I'm doing with the attorney's fees, and I'm going to try to explain myself.
Okay. Because
I'm not giving you their receipts and bills. I'm just going with, these are the arguments they're making as to why we shouldn't have to pay all this.
Right.
And I'm just going to go through those one by one. Let me read you the beginning, like, page one of this ruling. The procedural history of this case is well documented in the record, and the court need not reiterate it in detail here.
Okay.
In sum, following extensive discovery, multiple motions, dispositive and otherwise, four appeals to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, one petition for a writ of certiorari to the United States Supreme Court, and a three-day jury trial, this case is on the eve of final resolution. One issue remains, attorney's fees and expenses. This guy's like, look at all the shit you've put me through for 9 years, and we're finally done with this.
Oh, Lord.
So the bottom line is he says, the request that the plaintiff's side made, the gay couple's side made, for the number of hours they worked, how much they expected to be paid, the judge said, yeah, they're reasonable. That's all that matters to him.
Yeah.
He's like, I have no plans.
He's not trying to nickel and dime people.
He actually said, I have no plans to, quote, engage in micro litigation, nor am I, quote, inclined to split hairs.
Okay.
Like, this is what they submitted. I see it as fine. This makes sense for the sort of work they had to do. And so here's an example of what he means by that. At one point, the plaintiff's lawyer said, we charge $375 an hour, and my buddy here charges $275 an hour for the work we do.
Right.
They're lawyers.
That's how that works.
Kim Davis's team said, no. You said back in the day that you charged $350 and $250, so we're only going to pay you that amount because that's the original amount. Here's what the judge says in response to all that. The court finds that the rates sought by plaintiffs are reasonable.
Okay.
The court is not inclined to reduce these rates based upon what was found to be the prevailing market rate 6 years ago. He boldfaced 6 years
ago. Wow. Damn.
He's like, inflation hurts everybody, y'all. I'm not going to go back in time for this.
No. Oh, boy.
Wait, so it gets better.
Okay.
Basically, he said, yeah, those lower rates might have been fine when the case began. But you've dragged this out long
enough.
But
time is linear and has a habit of marching on.
So at the end of all of this, he gave the plaintiff's attorneys everything they wanted, every penny they wanted.
Good.
And that's a total of $260,084.70. Liberty Counsel says...
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say, and then punitive damages.
Yeah, no. That's it. Just legal fees. That's your bill. Liberty Counsel's people. I mean, Kim
Davis.
You got
to pay it.
Kim Davis owes it.
Yeah.
Will Liberty Counsel cover it? Of course not. More on that in a second.
Okay.
But Kim Davis is now on the hook for $260,000.
I have a really important question before we go any
and
further.
And 70 cents.
Is there any chance that the plaintiffs are going to get that money in their pockets?
Oh, no. I mean, this is the lawyers.
They are owed this. Okay,
so they better get this.
Is there any chance that,
they
like,
won't?
Yeah, they'll be left
they
on the hook?
They could sue, I'm pretty sure, if they don't get it.
But, like, can they sue? Okay, so if Liberty says, no, we're not going to pay that, is that within their right? They do have to. Okay.
I don't know what the specific protocol is if they don't want to pay it or something.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to pay something, what do you do? You're going to be in trouble if you don't pay it, especially if.
I'm just concerned that there's going to be some legal shenanigans.
They're appealing.
And then it'll be like, well, she only makes $38,000 a year, so that's not a reasonable thing. And
doesn't matter.
If
she didn't have the money, Liberty Counsel could have said that up front and said, we can't drag this out. But no, they chose to drag this out, so whatever.
All right.
Here's the thing, though. Will she have the money? She'll totally say, I don't have the money. I'm a poor little Christian woman.
I don't either.
However, you can almost guarantee there'll be the GoFundMe, Give, Send, Go version of, hey, people, I'm a Christian martyr. Give me money to pay this off. So they'll raise the money. That's not really at issue. Liberty Counsel says they're going to appeal the damages now, the lawyer's costs. They're going to say, like, no,
hey. Isn't that what that was?
Nope. Now it's to the regular judge again. They're saying, we're going to appeal this ruling from this judge. Like, again, they're just dragging this out.
And isn't this costing them more money if they don't win? Or is it?
It could. It could.
So, like, every time, because every time they file an appeal, they have to pay to do that, yes?
Because the plaintiffs have to file responses and everything, and if they end up losing, which they already have.
So every time they do this, assuming they're not going to win, because there does not seem, there's like, no they path. Have a leg to stand
there's
on.
There's no path here.
So every time
victory.
They do this, they're just sinking themselves double deeper because yeah. every time they have to pay for their court costs and hers.
Yeah, and it goes down to why are we doing this? It's because Liberty Counsel fundraises the hell off of this. They email their people. I'm on their mailing list. It's great. They are always like, Kim Davis is being persecuted again, so support us so we can help her. They've been doing this for 9 years.
Persecuted is having to pay for services rendered.
Yeah.
That's the worst persecution I've ever heard.
That's why they keep dragging this out. She's their cash cow. She has been for like 9 years. So they don't want this case to
ultimately
end.
Ultimately, the fundraising is greater than any penalties that they'll have to pay.
Because they're fundraising off of the courts are after us because we're being persecuted.
Send us money.
And if the case ends, what are they going to do? Real work? No. So they're just dragging this out. The one good thing about this is we get to remind everybody about Kim Davis because I haven't done that in several months.
Yeah.
Kim Davis, of course, is not just a Christian bigot. She is the woman
but
who...
She
is a Christian bigot. She opposes same-sex marriage because she says she believes in the sanctity of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Kim Davis has done regarding the sanctity of marriage in chronological order.
Great.
She married husband one, mm-hmm. had twins with husband three, mm-hmm. divorced husband one, married husband two, divorced mm-hmm. husband two, married husband three, then divorced husband three, mm-hmm. then remarried husband two, mm-hmm. just like Jesus.
Yep.
She says, you can't hold any of that against me because I didn't find God until 2011,
yeah,
so
none
I wasn't
of it counts.
Really a Christian. So here's the thing.
What does that mean I wasn't really a Christian? So, like,
nothing
do the rules
does.
Apply or do no. they not apply?
Of course they don't. Of course they don't. The funny thing is she always had an option available for free. If she didn't want to sign same-sex marriage licenses after Obergefell, because that was her job, she could have just resigned.
Got another job.
She could have gotten another job because she doesn't like the thing she has to do for her current job. Mm-hmm. She still could have been a martyr for the conservative Christian cause by saying, they pushed me out of my job because I didn't want to do.
But that wouldn't have had the traction, I don't think.
No, it would not have. So anyway, she's being used by the dumbest lawyers in the conservative side here because Liberty Counsel isn't known for their great track record. But they're still going at it.
I just
Kim Davis, man.
Why is this... Like, imagine the founding fathers looking at this. I mean, like, yeah, we nailed it, guys. We really, really nailed this legal system. Good job, everybody.
Nailed everything. They got it all right. Everything
all right,
is okay
try.
Because the Constitution is nothing if not clear about everything.
Correct.
All right. Let's talk about Mormons. Oh, this is exciting, too. I have so much good news everywhere.
Ooh.
So this is a new paper that was put out by sociologists Ryan Cragen, Bethany Gull, and Rick Phillips. Mm. This is in the Journal of Religion and Demography, my favorite journal.
As in demons?
No,
that's demonography.
As it's in populations and what they believe.
Demographics.
Yes.
Wow, I'm stupid. Okay.
That's okay. It's the new year. So the bottom line conclusion they have is if you look at, there's basically two ways to figure out what religions people are. If you want to break it down by state, how do you know what the religious makeup is of the people in Utah? There's two ways you can really get numbers for that. One is if you let's specify here. Let's talk about Mormons specifically.
Okay.
What percentage of people in Utah are Mormons? Two ways to get that answer. One is you listen to what the Mormon church says.
Right.
We have X million members in Utah, and you divide that by the total number of people in Utah based on like the census or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's one answer.
Yeah.
But that relies on you to trust the Mormon church and their numbers.
And why wouldn't I trust the Mormon church? I've never had any cause.
Listen
to
every previous episode of this podcast. The other way to do it is you go to a reputable survey of, you know, we tried to do a survey of people's religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. And when it came, if you just look at the people in Utah, this is what we came up with.
Yeah.
So they looked at those numbers and they said...
Did they match perfectly?
No. Well, here's what they said. They said, we looked at the Salt Lake Tribune, reputable newspaper, but they've reported on exactly this thing. It's kind of their beat.
Mm-hmm.
But their numbers, and they admit this, are coming from the Latter-day Saints church, right?
Got you, okay.
Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. And according to that number published in the Salt Lake Tribune in 2020 is the most recent available data they had, they said the Mormon share in Utah is 60.7%.
Wow.
Lower than in previous years, but still a majority.
Almost two-thirds. Right? Yeah, that's huge.
I mean, it used to be at its peak maybe in, at least in the past decade, in 2013, 2014, it was a little over 63%.
Wow.
And now it's a little over 60%.
Okay.
So lower, that was kind of the story they went with, mm-hmm. But clearly a majority.
Yeah.
When you look at the self-reporting from other surveys, mm-hmm. so here's another example. The Public Religion Research Institute, another reputable organization, in 2022, their numbers estimated that Mormons were 55% of Utah. So lower than what the LDS Church was saying.
And what year is this?
This is 2022.
Okay.
But let's talk about why both of those ways of getting the number are problematic. So according, if you look at the Mormon Church's history, they have a long history of giving overinflated membership numbers.
Of course. I think most churches can. Well, okay, is it overinflated or is it like technically true because these are the number of people we have on our rolls versus the people who participate? Because I'm legally still part of the Catholic Church.
Right. Yes and yes, because it depends on how you're counting it. If you're baptized and confirmed as a child, then the Mormon Church says you're a member.
For life?
For life. Like you're a Catholic. For life. Unless there's a reason not to, and it doesn't matter what you believe anymore, if you haven't gone through the formal process of removing your name from the rolls, they're going to count you as a member.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. If you're a toddler, the Mormon Church, I believe, says you're not eligible to get baptized until you're 8. What about kids who are younger? Because 8 is when you really hit your peak reasoning skills. But if you're...
How old is your oldest?
8. Not ready to make a religious decision for life.
Last time I met her, she sat and quizzed me on her birthday and her favorite color. And like, 8-year-olds are dum-dums. No offense. Your daughter is great, but I don't know her birthday.
But that's the thing. Baptisms, whatever. 8-year, whatever. If you ask a 7-year-old and it's a child in like a family of 8 kids, a 7-year-old is counted as a member of the church because they're not old enough to
have been baptized?
A decision one way or the other. So kids are considered members. Basically, everyone who's Mormon adjacent is considered Mormon unless there's a really good reason not to consider them a Mormon.
Okay.
Right? Yep. And here's what the researchers said about that. Scholars have noted that local ward rosters are unusable as sampling frames for surveying Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
The church's claimed membership total may exceed the number of self-identified Mormons by
50%. 50%?
They're saying these numbers are overinflated beyond belief. And in fact, they added, the Salt Lake Tribune also encountered problems with these numbers.
Really?
For example, one reporter found that the church claimed more members in one Utah county than there were residents of that county.
Oh, okay. So we're slipping past technicalities and going into fraud
territory.
We're
not talking like a few dozen off.
Oh, lordy lord.
So that's the problem with the Mormon Church's numbers. What about self-reported numbers? Well, sometimes the sample sizes are just really small, so that makes it harder to get an accurate assessment. That happens with surveys. As we see with Catholics all the time, a lot of people who no longer believe in God or don't take religion seriously or never attend anymore services anymore, they may still call themselves Mormon or Catholic for cultural reasons.
Sure.
And even though the label is pretty meaningless at that point. So that's the problem with those surveys. So what did these researchers do? Well, they did their own survey using a much larger sample size, and they made sure their sample size was more demographically in line with like what the U.S. Census says the population looks like. We're not just surveying white people here. We're going to look at all of Utah. We're trying to get a really broad sample of what we got here.
And that was the accusation, is that all the sample sizes were way too limited.
If they're really small,
enough?
You're only getting a certain type of person, and that makes it harder to get a fair assessment.
Okay.
So what these researchers found is that the percentage of Mormons in Utah, are you ready for this?
No.
42.
What?
Percent.
Wait, in Utah or Salt Lake City?
In Utah.
We've been doing in Utah
all
the whole
Utah
time.
The whole time.
Wow.
42%. So, and they calculate that with a much higher confidence interval, 99.9% confidence interval.
Wow.
Which means we're pretty sure we're right here. And they're saying we find that Mormons are no longer in the majority in Utah. And if they run the numbers backwards, like based on the information they had, they were not the majority in Utah ever since 2007.
Wow.
So
So what are the
We'll talk about consequences in a second.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Why are Mormons losing their share of Utah? And the researchers gave three big reasons. What do you want to guess?
I mean, it's the same as everything. It's a conservative, too conservative, hypocritical, and maybe money, something about money, or don't believe. I think
you
it's
touched on two of them.
Like general liberal views, gay people.
We're going to put
marriage,
that all into
adoption.
A thing they called secularization. Basically, religion is less important in the lives of many Americans.
I see.
And that's also true of Mormons. Now, why are people less inclined to be Mormon? For all the reasons you mentioned.
Sure.
I'm fed up with the church for this reason or that. I am friends with people who are not religious or a different religion, so I no longer subscribe. All those reasons people have been shifting away from organized religion.
So that's all one thing.
That's all one part of it.
Is another thing just a simple matter of demographics? The population is growing and the number of Mormons are staying the same, so their population share is just lower?
But here's the counter to that. Mormons also have a ton of kids, more so than most other groups.
Ooh, that's a good point. And they probably don't have a habit of moving away very frequently.
Right. Because if you're, I mean, I could tell you this about brown people in Chicago. All of my parents' friends are here.
Yeah.
There's less of an incentive to go anywhere else unless you had to.
Yeah, 100%.
So the second reason they brought up, not just secularization overall, because that's affecting everybody.
Okay, I'm really
but
curious.
In Utah specifically, they talked about fertility. Mormons, and fertility may or may not be the right word. Someone mentioned reproduction rates would be a better term here because everyone might be fertile, but they might not have. Anyway, fertility is what the researchers said. Mormons are having fewer babies than they used to, or at least people in Utah are. In 2001, people in Utah had about 20 births for every 1,000 people. Mm. By 2022, that number was 14 per 1,000 people.
I thought you were going to say 20 births per person.
No.
And I almost, my wine went up my nose.
Fewer babies if you're saying Utahns are having fewer babies, that presumably means a lot of Mormons are having fewer babies.
Babies. They've definitely been skewing the numbers on their end. It's like, do you have two kids, three kids, or 19?
Right. You couldn't really go up more.
Right.
Fewer babies means fewer automatic Mormons. It also means Utah is starting to look more and more like the rest of the country when it comes to reproduction rates.
Sure.
So that's another reason they have fewer Mormons as a share of the population than they used to. Third reason, migration. Mormons, both.
Huh.
Mormons used to go to Utah no matter where they were because that's where the Mormons were, right? But
wait, why were you a Mormon in a different part of the country? Just like a little pocket of
maybe
whatever?
There was a reason. Maybe there was a reason you had to work in another state or you raised your family there or whatever. You might have met a Mormon, but like there were only three Mormons in the state of New Jersey.
Fair.
So whatever.
Okay. All right.
But now, because the Mormon church has spent so much money building temples and communities in other parts of the country.
They lost their stronghold.
That's right.
Salt Lake City.
You don't need to live in Salt Lake City if you want to find a community of Mormons.
Okay.
So this isn't necessarily bad for the church. It just means that explains why there's less of a percentage in Utah. It's interesting. People like us, would you have wanted to move to Utah? There might have been a reason to say, you know what, that's really Mormon and I'm not.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that that's a destination for me, regardless of what my job is or whether I want to go there.
I feel like 23-year-old ski bums were like, I don't care.
Yeah. But now...
It's just all like, it's either Mormons or just like 22-year-old white guys in beanies running around. Like,
and
what
though,
meat
that is
culture.
Now 52% of Mormon. Right. No, now a lot of non-Mormons are coming into Utah because of economic opportunities, lower cost of living.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And also
City's dope.
Yeah. And also because there are fewer Mormons than there used to be, it's like that also means, even if you're not Mormon, you're probably going to have an easier time finding people who think more like you do. So you'll find a community there.
Well, if you are Mormon, suddenly your social circle might be opened up a little bit to non-Mormons,
which makes it easier for everybody to just live there because, I'll be able to find my people no matter what that means to you. So when you combine all those factors, the share of Mormons in Utah is dropping. Let's talk about what that means for consequences.
Are we going to go over the fact that the numbers have been inflated for years and any consequences of that?
There's no consequences because church can say whatever the church wants.
Excuse me, not consequences to anybody, but sort of social consequences of having an inflated number. Like you know what I mean? Like, did the Mormon church exert more power over, the population than they should have because they were like, well, we're like 70% of the population, so you better listen to us? Or
maybe,
is it just an unfortunate thing that the records have been incorrect and that's...
unfortunate, maybe on purpose thing that the church did.
Okay.
But I mean, they still elect a lot of very conservative people, regardless of anything we're talking about. So does it really have an impact?
I don't know.
I mean, you could still say the church is pretty damn powerful in Utah, and I don't think that's changed one bit.
Yeah, but also I think there's a sense sometimes of, I mean, certainly we saw it in 2016, of, well, it doesn't matter who I vote for, you know, a Democrat's going to win in Illinois, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If people are thinking the same thing, but the opposite, like we're in Utah, like we're, it's not going to, it's going to be somebody conservative and religious. I'm not going to vote. Maybe that, I mean, I don't know.
I would point out that in 2022, was it during a Senate race, who was running?
I guess they have a Democratic.
No, they vote all Republican for statewide things. It's really hard for a Democrat to win.
Mm.
But who was the Democratic nominee in 2022 for a Senate race? It wasn't even a Democrat. It was Evan McMullen, who ran as an independent.
Oh,
and even the Democratic Party said, you know what? We always lose these statewide races, but you're a Mormon who's anti-Trump.
Huh.
We're going to tell all of our people to vote for you. And he lost, but it wasn't by the sort of margin you would expect.
Sure. Okay.
Maybe that slowly shifts over time, even if that's farther away.
I just think
away.
The social psychology of who votes and why is pretty interesting and not to be, you know, dismissed. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It also means, like, more Mormons are, you know, 3/4 of people in Utah support same-sex marriage now, according to a 2022 survey. That's a huge jump. That's the result of secularization and having different values. It also means if the church has, like, a loosening stranglehold on the state, they do dominate the state's culture and their politics right now.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe that doesn't mean like the Mormon Church technically runs the state politics, but Republicans do. And you can say that pretty much overlaps as far as the church is concerned.
Yeah.
But if more people are coming to Utah because of other reasons, well, that's the sort of thing that makes politics shift over time.
Sure.
Ryan Cragen, one of the researchers. Yeah. Ryan Cragen, one of the researchers. I asked him, like, is this trend, like, accelerating by any chance? Because I would imagine if the demographics are changing, it only makes it easier for more people to go. He said, yeah, it's now much easier to leave the religion, too, because there are plenty of people who are not LDS who you could spend time with who share your views.
Mm-hmm.
He also said there are plenty of support groups in Utah for ex-Mormons, plenty of non-Mormons who are happy to welcome ex-Mormons to their social circles. So declining religiosity is self-enforcing.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, the Mormon Church is, why has the Mormon Church been in the news, at least nationally, for the past several months and years? Yeah. Shielding itself from accountability on sexual abuse, hoarding hundreds of billions of dollars, at least $100 billion meant for charity. It's been criticized by some of its most powerful and richest members.
Mm.
So there's good reason for people within the church to leave the church, even if they're not leaving Utah. So one thing that I wasn't on top of this, but this was interesting. The church knows this is all happening. They have to know. They have too much money not to know this stuff is happening. So how are they trying to prevent all this, prevent their power from, like, loosening? One thing they did a few years ago was they changed, you know how Mormons have to go on these two-year mission trips? Famously in the Book of Mormon musical, right? Like the whole thing. It used to be you have to be 19 if you're a guy and 21 if you're a woman.
Okay.
That's the age at which you go on your mission trip.
Okay.
But if you're 19 and male and you're going on your mission trip, what do you do when you're 18 and you graduated from high school? Well, you probably go to college for a year, then take 2 years off to go on your mission trip. If you're a woman, you might go to college for 3 years, maybe finish your degree before
and
you go on your
you
mission
on your trip.
Because
you don't have to go at that age. You just have to go after. Like, that's the earliest you can
go. But probably you want to get it out of the way.
Well,
so the problem,
a 38-year-old woman would not want to spend 2 years with a bunch of 19-year-old boys and 21-year-old girls. Thank you.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever.
But the thing is, if you go to college, you're now surrounded by people who are questioning their faith and surrounded by people who might make you question your faith. And
most of them are going to BYU,
Some of them, a lot of them, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, oh, you know what? I'm 18 and a half and I'm in college and I don't think I really want to go on my mission trip anymore. I'm not a Mormon anymore. They know that's happening. So they changed the ages from 19 and 21 to 18 and 19. Mostly
still
to
19
stop
for women.
Yeah,
why?
Mostly I don't know, but to stop the people who might take that year and go to college. Like, they're also supporting to some degree gay and lesbian rights. We recently
expand
heard
on that.
Yeah, remember when they overturned Roe v. Wade? One of the things Clarence Thomas wrote in his opinion there was basically like, yeah, this would be a state's issue, and he even said like interracial marriage. One of the things critics pointed out is, well, that would apply to interracial marriage.
Mm-hmm. Which Clarence Thomas,
is
a part of.
And what about all the same sex? What about all the same sex couples that got married and Obergefell made it national? Mm. What if that goes back to states too? Like, is that on the chopping block? And so when the Mormon church weighed in on that, because nationally, this is one good thing Democrats did. They said, we're going to pass a bill saying, no, those, if you got married and you're a same-sex couple, they can't take that away from you. They codify that nationally. Well, the Mormon church said, yeah, we're not going to fight that. They could have. They opposed it.
Wait, what about Proposition 8?
That was 2008.
So
now... After
Proposition 8 is, and the role the Mormon church had it.
California said we're leaving it up to state, and the Mormon church was big on saying, no, let's oppose
it. Rolled it. Yeah. So forgive me for them being neutral is not enough for me to be like, oh, good job, gang. What are you... Come on, Heaven.
What did I say that opposes any of this?
They've been pretty good about it.
No. I did not say they've been pretty good. I said this is an example of them. You would expect the Mormon church to say, oh, no, we want this to go back to the states because we want states to decide this. No, the Mormon church said, this is back in November, we support the legislation to safeguard same-sex marriages, and we're not going to fight this.
What did they say about abortion?
No, they didn't comment on that.
Oh, because there's no women who run their thing, and they've never had to think about
I'm saying they're taking these tiny little baby steps. Yep. It's don't give them credit more than they deserve here.
Oh,
but
I won't.
These baby little steps are basically trying to stop people from leaving their church because they think it's too bigoted, too homophobic, whatever. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they still want people to have big families, but they are having fewer kids than before. So Utah is still very much a Republican and Mormon state, but it's way less than any of the numbers we've seen before have indicated. So that's interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, is there any... Well, I guess... Besides the Southern Baptist of it all, does it feel like almost every other religion is shifting left?
Shifting left meaning...
Embracing things that they might have rejected 20 years ago. Gay marriage, abortion, trans people...
Very, very vaguely. I mean, again, if you say, does the Catholic Church, when it said, we want to allow priests to bless same-sex couples a couple of weeks ago that we talked about.
I think that's an example of that.
Yeah. Why are they doing that? It's not because their theology dictates it, because they just change it up.
Because attendance is down.
They're trying to prevent people from calling them bigoted, which they are. And they're trying to prevent people from leaving the church. Does that mean the church has shifted left? Has the Mormon church shifted left? Not really. But they are trying to stop the bleeding. Yeah. And so, I don't know. They're trying to, but
what
it's
would,
not...
Wait, what would you... So, if you're saying... So, from 2008 to 20... Whenever now. To now. So, they went from actively campaigning against it to being like, whatever. Like,
to
it
being
is
like,
what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. We still oppose it in the church, but as far as a national... Like,
but you don't think that's a movement to the left from...
I don't think they're any... If they had said anything, no one would care, because... The Mormon church was not going to decide this issue. So this was a win-win for them. Because they could say, you know what? We're not going to take part in this. We're not involving ourselves in this. But we're absolutely not actively opposing it, which is what they did with Prop 8.
Yeah, I guess it's just a semantic argument. But anyway, interesting. Very interesting.
This is the funniest thing I wanted to talk about last week. And we couldn't because we were doing the week in review.
Because I was being so funny.
But we are absolutely talking about this now. Hey, here's a question for you. Pop quiz.
Hey, okay.
Jesus is what ethnicity?
He's Palestinian.
He would be born in the West Bank, which is Palestinian occupied, but...
I knew that for
Israel
sure. I wasn't guessing.
Controls... don't ask me.
He's
Israeli
brown.
Occupied. He's brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked more like Hemet than he did me.
Sure. So consider this.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever said. Jesus.
If you believe Jesus is born in Bethlehem, you believe, then you are saying, yeah, he was born in the West Bank, which
born
is Israeli
is
occupied. I don't know where you're going with this.
Israel.
Born in the West Bank, which is Israeli occupied, which is to say he's born in the Middle East, which is to say technically that's in Asia. So Jesus
is technically
Asian.
Uh-oh.
If you accept that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, He was born in Asia. He is Asian.
It's
okay,
very
hold that
embarrassing that I know that Indian people are technically Asian, but I'm very embarrassed about the fact that I did not make that jump from
sure.
Jesus is brown to Jesus is Asian, which is racist on my part, probably.
Sure, but he is Asian. I mean, that is what Christians believe.
Yep.
Okay, second thing that is also true. Different cultures have often depicted Jesus in a way that is familiar to them.
Correct.
So if you go to Ethiopia, you will see paintings of an Ethiopian Jesus.
Black Jesus.
You can go see black Jesus. You could see Indian Jesus in India. The reason we're familiar with a white European Jesus is because a lot of those Renaissance era paintings depicted him that way.
This might be apocryphal, but I feel like I remember Leonardo da Vinci basing the look of Jesus on his boyfriend or something like that. Like something really fun and sassy.
I would love for that to be true.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Somebody check me on that.
To be clear, those images of a very white, long-haired Jesus, they make no sense
and
considering.
Shredded.
And shredded, of course, just like Trump. None of that makes any sense if you consider the Bible describes him as a dark-skinned, he would have been a Middle Eastern Jew.
This is when they decide what literal interpretation of the Bible means.
Yeah.
The Bible.
So the point is, if you're discussing religious artwork from somewhere like China, for example, you will see paintings of Jesus with features that look familiar to the people there. There's
Which is
nothing
nowhere
weird.
Less inaccurate than a white Jesus. And also, we're not talking about Muhammad here. You can picture him
paint
however,
him however you want. There is no photo of Jesus
right, exactly.
that we're working off of here. So the point is, there's nothing weird about any of those things I just said.
Yeah.
It happens everywhere. It's been going on forever.
But
so Christianity Today, white evangelical magazine, they published an essay. It was a photo essay by a woman named Victoria Emily Jones. Mm. She has a blog that's called Art and Theology. That's kind of her jam.
Cool.
So she writes about how her religion, she's devoutly Christian, evangelical, I believe, but she writes about how artwork and theology intersect. Whatever. Not really my thing, but good
also
for her.
Also kind of inarguable, but yeah.
So here's the beginning of her essay. The beginning of her essay, which of course I can't find in front of me right now,
oh,
but
God
I will find it for you here. It's the first line that got everyone upset. Here's the first paragraph.
Here we go.
Jesus was born in Asia. He was Asian. Yet the preponderance of Christian art that shows him at home in Europe has meant that he is embedded deeply in the popular imagination as Western. To which I say...
That is a wonderful opening statement.
Right.
I would say it sets her thesis up clearly. I grabbed my attention. She's following the inverted pyramid. I'm into it. I'm here for it. Good job. Good writing. A+.
Everything she said there, I'm like, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yes, people in other
because
parts...
Because there's certain things that are facts.
Right. And so what she
I'm
wrote in the essay...
I'm very embarrassed that I didn't realize Israel is in Asia. I'm very, very, very embarrassed.
So she says, the artists in this photo essay bring him back to Asia, but not to ancient Israel. They make the birth of Jesus a local event, translating the story into their own cultural context.
As every culture before.
That's how art works. Christian artists who tackle the subject of the incarnation are often aiming not at historical realism, so they're not depicting him as dark-skinned Israeli Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They're aiming not at historical realism, but at theological meaning.
Yeah.
Which, to me, says, we want to paint Jesus as an Ethiopian Jesus. Why? Yeah, that's not what he looked like according to the Bible, but this is the way we could spread the story, spread the gospel we want to spread in a way that is familiar to our people.
And part of this story is that he is all of us, right? He is he's our personal Jesus. So he is whoever we want him to be. And boy, oh boy, I cannot wait to hear that.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
The reason this is a photo essay, she didn't write that much. Everything I just read to you is kind of the introductory paragraphs. And then she just says, here's some paintings. You may not be familiar with a lot of them.
Asian or is it global stuff?
It's all Asian.
Cool.
But Asia's big. So I have a couple of them up here. You could see this is from a Korean artist, and you could see the features.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Oh, I love it.
This is another one from a Filipino artist, and it's just... We'll post these in the Facebook group and stuff, but it's just, I've never seen a painting like that. But it clearly shows the nativity scene with people who don't look like the white European characters
that you tend to see in
the nativity scenes outside Capitol buildings. And as she described it, The visual interpretations of this sacred story offer a gift of beauty to the global church. Fine, whatever you do.
And I bet white people loved it.
Like, here's the thing. I'm reading all this.
Yeah.
None of this is controversial.
No.
If anything, I would say Christians could read this article, look at the artwork, and say, see, look at how universal our story is, mm-hmm. as you just mentioned. Look at how our story transcends mm-hmm. cultures and geographical boundaries. Mm-hmm. That is not how anyone responded
Are
to
you
this.
Like, I knew this was coming, yeah. but really?
Conservative Christians were so mad
like,
at this article.
Like, specifically about what?
All right, let me read you some stuff.
Because I just want, before you read them to me.
Yes.
Let's just reset ourselves. Jesus was Middle Eastern.
Correct.
He was not white.
Correct.
Most famous depictions have depicted him as white, but those
and
also
buff. Yes.
were, and shredded, but those also were painted 600 years ago / 1400 years before, after he was dead.
Yes.
So we don't really know what he looks like.
We know he was buff. We just don't know.
Well, when he was on the cross, he was doing those crunches where you bring your knees up.
Right.
So that's how you got abs. That's the secret to the bottom part.
I'm not the first person to make that one.
No, but it was very good.
There you go.
Okay, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page that Jesus was brown and not white, like white people imagine him.
And the author of that piece is correct. If you believe the story, he is Asian.
Have you ever seen the thing where like people have a framed picture of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi and they think it's Jesus?
Yes.
That's very good for
me. So here are some of the tweets. Did you guys read the Bible? Please delete your account. This is to Christianity Today. Okay, here's a real one. Blasphemy.
Oh.
Jesus is a Jew. It's necessary for our salvation that he is a son of David from the tribe of Judah and born in Bethlehem. Stop this nonsense. He isn't European, Asian, Palestinian, or black. He's a Jew, the king of the Jews, and therefore the savior of the world. To which...
No, I'm the first to admit that my overall understanding of, like, Judaism is limited at best, but...
Jews in Asia, dude. That's it. You can be both.
Like, you can't preclude ethnicities by saying that he has to be Jewish, because Judaism is both an ethnicity and a religious identity. Like,
separate issue, but
simple.
Yes. Another person. This is from a guy who works for the Babylon Bee.
No, it's not blue-eyed Jews, but this fucking painting that we see does not read Jewish to me.
This is from another one. Next, can you please do an article with a bunch of AI images of Jesus if he were Rosa Parks?
Well, that was a pretty big leap.
I don't even know what they're going for there. Another one. He was a Jew. You should change your name to Heresy Today.
That's pretty funny. Honestly, I know I just said a Jew, but it really makes me feel uncomfortable to hear you say it, so I'm just going to go ahead and apologize for that, because it feels yucky when you say it.
It's all in the tone. Okay, here's another one. You should change your name to Today. There's nothing Christian going on over there.
I think you should have led with that one and then done the Heresy Today one, because that one was a stronger punchline.
Here's another one. Jesus was born in America. He was American. See, I can say stupid stuff too.
Even though she's not making any claims that Jesus was born anywhere else, she's just talking about societal recreations of him.
Yeah.
And being Asian is much, much, much worse than being blue-eyed and like light brown hair because... I forgot. Sometimes I forget racism.
Ken Ham chimed in.
Oh, good.
Creationist Ken Ham says, how could an item depicting Jesus as Asian be even published in a... Christian, with quote hands, magazine? Well, it's all consistent with what has been happening over the years with a rampant compromise in the church on Genesis. Of course, it goes back to Genesis with him.
Genesis?
Yeah.
Wait, what was the compromise on Genesis?
Oh, because if you don't take the book of Genesis literally, all hell breaks loose, and that's why answers in Genesis exist. So he's saying,
book of Genesis? Because there's two.
No.
There's two.
The whole thing. It's all perfect. Shut up.
I forgot about his answer. Lilith.
But again, I'm going back to his. How could they depict Jesus as Asian? Because he was, you moron.
And like, my favorite. Even if that's not true. Who cares?
And why am I the one defending it? Okay.
Yeah, truly. What are we doing?
Franklin Graham, evangelist Franklin Graham.
Today.
Franklin Graham chimed in too.
What do you have to say? Where's his pants zipped?
This is the prototypical. No, he's not the one that does the unzipping of the pants. That's all the other ones.
Keep them straight.
Yeah, they can't either. Here's Franklin Graham. Are they are they trying to cancel the real Jesus?
What?
He used cancel like a Netflix comedian. Many have criticized Christianity Today for their article about artists depicting Jesus as Asian. And I also have to ask, in all caps, why?
Because it's a thing that exists in the world, and the world is a big and beautiful and interesting place, and it's really great to learn how other people are worshiping the same God as you,
daddy,
in their own way.
He's mad.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? Doesn't Jesus unite us all?
His daddy founded the magazine.
Why can I do that and he can't?
I know. His daddy founded the magazine, so he's especially mad.
Oh,
but
boy.
He's like, what is behind this speculation from Christianity Today and this author? Is its purpose to cast doubt on the word of God?
Wait, could you reread that? What is the...
He thinks Christianity Today is making this
speculation?
Up. Yeah.
That's not what that means.
It was not.
Speculative
correct.
Would mean that... No,
they didn't say, we don't know where he was born, so let's just assume it's Asia. No. They're saying, you know how the Bible says it's Bethlehem? Let's go to Bethlehem on a map. Oh, look, it says Asia.
Can you reread her opening shit for me? I just want to see if she addresses it.
Jesus was born in Asia, period. He was Asian, period.
Oh, I
That's
see.
That's it. That's
No, I do see now. I see why they're so angry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a...
There was
truly,
also...
Real question. Is this a failure of geography in American
yes.
schools?
That is 100%.
I don't know either.
That is so where I am going with this.
Genuinely, the worst part of this podcast is that, like, I learn something on the spot, and then I realize how fucking dumb I've been for 38 years until now, and now all of you know that shit, too. Thank you for standing by me in this trying time of mine. Go ahead, Hammett.
There was also a bunch of racist tweets, which I won't read here. Fox News posted
you.
An article about
what
the controversy. They didn't add any commentary.
No.
They just said Christian magazine ridiculed after insisting Jesus, quote, was Asian. This is, by the way, this is from the same network that once had Megyn Kelly as a, anchorwoman.
Mm.
Megyn Kelly famously said Jesus was white.
And Santa Claus was white.
And Santa Claus was
pretty
white.
Pretty mad about both of those things, if
she
I remember
said,
right.
She said, Jesus, this is Megyn Kelly, circa 2013, Jesus was a white man, too. It's like we have...
Two? In addition?
Yep. Yeah. He's a historical figure. That's a verifiable fact, as is Santa. I just want kids
what?
To... Yep. I just want kids to know that. How do you revise it in the middle of the legacy in the story and change Santa from white to black? She was mad because there was a black Santa in an article someone wrote about, like having a black Santa in their home.
And she looped Jesus
into it. And she looped Jesus into it.
And she said, Jesus is white.
And she said, Jesus is white. He's a historical figure. That's a verifiable fact. And Santa
is
white too. Yeah, it's her.
Oh, but that's...
Anyway, I'm just saying... That's the Fox News I grew up to love, and Fox is mad about this. But to your point, the bottom line is that a bunch of morons just found out that the West Bank is in Asia, and they cannot believe someone
Don't
writing
me a moron to my face.
And someone writing for a Christian media outlet had the audacity to point that out while sharing how the story of Christ is very popular in other cultures, because that's a bad thing, apparently.
I'm very curious. I would love a little counterfactual of if she did not lead with Jesus was born in Asia, he is Asian. If she just said...
If she looped that into the second paragraph, they never would have gotten that far.
No, not... Yeah, fair enough. But, like, if she literally just said, like, all around the world, people change Jesus into the image that suits them. Here are some examples that we don't see very often from Asia.
Oh, yeah, they would have been fine with that. It's
Do you
the
think?
Fact that she literally said, he's Asian. And isn't that an interesting way to open up my article about how Asians today... all across Asia, depict Jesus in their image.
So they are yelling. I guess I was thinking commenters were mad at the artists, but they're really mad at the author.
They're not mad at the artists. They're mad at the author.
That she's, okay, I was misunderstanding what everyone was mad about, because what they're
mad about
is so
you
fucking
have not.
Pointless.
No. They're mad about crazy stuff that makes no sense, period.
Just different crazy stuff than I thought.
Probably, yes. The article was fine. Like, there are reasons to be mad at Christianity Today. I won't belabor that point here. Mm. This is not one of them.
It really is not. And I feel like they've done good journalism in the past.
Their journalism is fine. They do a good job. I respect their, like, news side.
Yeah.
And they publish a bunch of shitty op-eds. That's how those outlets work.
I have really strong, stupid opinions. I don't know why nobody lets me write an op-ed. I guess this is my op-ed.
Well, now you know how to start it.
Yeah, right? Just piss off a bunch of people.
Yep. Just say Jesus is Asian. Mm-hmm. Job done.
I'm going to say he was a penguin and really from Antarctica.
There you go. Let's talk about Chick-fil-A. This is another one I wanted to talk about last week, but it's okay. This is still in the news.
I hate talking about Chick-fil-A.
Here's why.
Because I've been doing it. I know we've talked about this before. I've been talking about fucking Chick-fil-A since the jump when I started working with Hemant, which was 2012, which marks a dozen years that I've had to think about fucking Chick-fil-A.
Yep. So Chick-fil-A famously is it's closed on Sundays because the Christian founders want a day of rest to honor their evangelical Asian God.
I mean, it's nice that they give people a day off on Sunday. I think it's a bad business practice, but go off.
So this is where it gets interesting because, for example, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, at their airport there, usually the contract, if you want to have a restaurant in the airport, is you got to be open all the days because we fly every day and people want food every day.
Yeah, people have that nasty habit of eating every day.
But the people who run the concessions at that airport, that's not the government. That's like some private third-party group or something. And they're like, no, we're just here to make money. And they said, Chick-fil-A said they wanted to open up a shop here. This is years ago, like 2015.
Yeah, I remember talking about this.
They said Chick-fil-A wanted to open up, but they were going to be closed on Sunday. But we said, no, it's fine because you make us a ton of money even in the 6 days you're open.
Yeah.
And it's more than the 7 days a lot of other restaurants are open. So that's a compromise we will take if that's what it takes to get you in the airport.
Which makes financial sense. Totally. If they think it's going to be a moneymaker.
Because money is their, that concession owner,
it is,
that's their goal.
Yeah.
So fine, I get
that's
that.
That's the goal for, let's be clear, all businesses is to make money
so
and
this
do
is where
nothing
it gets interesting.
Else.
Lawmakers in New York, there is a state-owned, there are a bunch of transportation hubs.
Okay.
And it's owned by like the state officials and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of new ones being built in the coming years. And so lawmakers recently proposed legislation that said for all those future vendors at all those locations that are opening up, we want them to be open 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Not because their interest should be making money, but because, as they say in the legislation, we can't have it closed. We can't have, here's what they actually said in the legislation. While there is nothing objectionable about a fast food restaurant closing on a particular day of the week, service areas dedicated to travelers is an inappropriate location for such a restaurant.
Yep.
Allowing for retail space to go unused 1/7 of the week or more is a disservice and unnecessary inconvenience to travelers who rely on these service areas. Because they're not talking about randos who just happen to be traveling on Sunday. They're like, we have truck drivers coming through these rest stops.
Yeah.
They need something. And if we're saying, hey, we have a chicken shop here, Chick-fil-A, but we have a couple of other options, but the thing they need to, for their sustenance is the chicken. It's like, well, then we can't have it closed.
Well, and you, if you're something like that, you need consistency. You can't have people driving around being like, oh, I don't know if they're open. I'm going to pass
it up. That too.
And as a traveler, not lately, but Midway in the last 10 years or so has like super redone their airport. And they have put in a bunch of like bars and dinner places, which is fine, but I almost always travel in the morning. And I can tell you there's like one fucking Dunkin' Donuts there now, and it's massively inconvenient for literally everybody. So I can absolutely understand why they're like, no. Like, it's not even about the money they make. It's about how pissed off passengers get because they have to wait 45 minutes for a cold bagel.
Sure. So lawmakers are proposing this legislation, and it's
sensible. Stand up from 1992. Thank you.
There you go. And so, sensible legislation. They pointed out Chick-fil-A is an example of a restaurant that is open not every day of the week.
Ooh, maybe they shouldn't have named Chick-fil-A. That might have been a poor choice.
They did it on purpose. Like, they were saying, we know this is going to affect Chick-fil-A because they actually have, Apple Green is the name of the company that operates all these service areas. And they say,
Apple Green's the rest stops?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're saying that's the vendor that operates all of these things. Mm-hmm. And actually, at the places we already have, Chick-fil-A is at 7 of those locations.
Oh.
And they pointed out, like, that's fine. We are not asking them to do anything differently.
Or close down.
Or close down or anything. They're just saying for all the future places that are going to open,
no more,
including Chick-fil-A, if you want to open at the new places, this is what we are asking of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's proposed legislation. I don't think it's passed yet. But again, it doesn't affect the 7 Chick-fil-A's that are already in existence at these rest stops.
Mm-hmm.
They're not touching those.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the proposed legislation. Makes sense. It wouldn't even be a standalone restaurant where you could do whatever you want. Yeah. This is at a rest area designed to help travelers.
Yeah.
And if it makes you money, great. It's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. And everyone is mad. The guy who sponsored the bill, his name is Tony Simone. He told CNN in an interview, the bill has nothing to do with religion, and it has nothing to do with any political positions like that Chick-fil-A has taken in the past or anything like that.
You just can't.
He said,
you can't not follow the rules.
Yeah, he said, this is about making sure the throughways have rest stops that support and have our travelers be able to be serviced. This is a consumer protection bill.
Yeah.
He said. Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, is already fundraising off of this. He actually posted a tweet basically in front of the Manhattan, a Chick-fil-A in Manhattan. I don't know why he was there, but he was.
Why was he in Manhattan?
I don't know.
He hates New York.
Of course, unless they actually want to go somewhere fun.
I'm sorry, are there no Chick-fil-A's in wherever he's
South
from?
Carolina, South Carolina? Yeah. He said if the New York legislation passes, he'll introduce a bill in Congress, quote, withholding federal funds from any city or state that requires Chick-fil-A to open on Sundays. Which, of course, is bullshit. He's not going to do this, and it wouldn't pass.
Infuriating.
But the idea is that, I just want to be clear, no one is forcing Chick-fil-A to do anything they don't want to do. They said, if you can't stay open 7 days a week, that's fine, but then don't go in the new rest areas that we're going
to
open.
Then you'll have to find another place in the entire country
to
open
there are only
store.
Thousands of other locations you already have that can already do this. Like Chick-fil-A, no one's saying you have to change your policies. They're saying
literally nobody.
Nobody.
But they're saying if you want to be in this particular little vestibule, you have to follow the best vestibule.
Then you have to follow our rules.
Which is,
and if you don't want to, that's fine.
The whole fucking thing on the right is companies get to do whatever the fuck they want. But is that only when they're being discriminatory against
queer
people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got confused again.
Like there's nothing illegal about the New York bill. There's nothing to rally around. No one's calling for like a Chick-fil-A boycott as they may have done in the past. It's more like Lindsey Graham and other right-wing grifters are just using any opportunity to pretend they are defending Christianity.
It's so transparent. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
It's so
hard to watch people just be grifters out in public and watch people just fall hook, line, and sinker for it. It's exhausting to
watch. Simone, the sponsor of that bill, told reporters, Graham just hasn't read the bill, and if he had, he would know that the legislation would not affect current Chick-fil-A locations. And to me, I'm just saying that's very
generous.
That is
giving him a lot of grace.
Way too generous.
A lot of grace.
Graham knows how to read. He knows what the bill says. He just doesn't care.
And whether or not he read it, somebody on his staff fucking read it and summed it up for him, right?
Like, yeah, it's just easier to whip gullible conservatives into a frenzy over an issue like this and raise money off of it than to be honest with them, because that's not what Republicans do.
Oh, I hate it also.
Chick-fil-A, interestingly enough, hasn't said anything about the New York bill. And I don't know why they would, because the bill is fine and it's not attacking them. And they have nothing to complain about.
I find it so exhausting, don't you?
It's my job to not be exhausted.
Let's talk about
the Ten Commandments since
we're
talking about
this.
Literally,
because of this podcast, I cannot read the news on my phone because it just sends me into a dither. And you're just like, beep, bop, boop.
This is
every day.
This is a new bill filed by Republican State Representative Jim Olson in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. If his bill passes, every public school classroom in the state will be forced to display a copy of the Ten Commandments. And that is how he plans to improve the education system, ranked 48 in America.
I feel like we've spent a lot of time in Oklahoma recently.
Yeah. They have Ryan Walters, the superintendent, who's a Christian nationalist.
Speaking of whom, my mom called me out because she said one time Hammett said Oklahoma, and you just went, Oak! And then didn't say anything else. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's an inside joke from 25 years ago with people who I haven't spoken to in 15 years. It's just a musical we saw. Somebody started Oklahoma, and they just went, Oklahoma. I'm sorry.
And it's still not a funny inside joke.
No, of course it's not funny, but I didn't realize I'd do it until my mom pointed it out. Thanks,
nice.
Mom.
Nice. So according to this bill,
beginning in next fall,
2024, every public school shall display in a clear place a durable poster framed copy of the Ten Commandments. He actually says it has to be 16 inches wide by 20 inches tall, and it must be legible to a person with average vision.
I love that they've learned from all of these things of like, okay, you guys, they're trying trying to make a workaround, so it has to be big, and it has to be durable, it has to be super good, okay?
He's still screwed up. But
what did he miss?
I'll tell you in a second. But he also trying to get around the proverbial, like, how are they gonna screw this up? He actually says, this is what it must say on the poster.
Oh.
And wrote out like 10 commandments at the top, and then this is the literal writing of what the commandments have to say. And it says you can't have anything else on the poster.
Did he say, did you just send a PDF? Basically, I mean, or was he saying
it's proposed legislation? This is in the bill.
I'm sorry. Like, is he sending schools a PDF?
No.
This is what the poster is.
He's saying this is the text. Like, I am the Lord thy God, and I am Lord are all in all caps. It has to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Jesus won't like you.
Right.
Yeah. Got it.
The classroom also says that if any classroom doesn't have a poster or has one that doesn't meet all the requirements.
Every individual classroom.
Every single classroom. Then they must accept a privately donated poster that meets the requirements. Now, two things about it. Nowhere in the bill does it say what the penalty would be if a school or classroom does not participate in this charade. Which seems important.
What would the penalty... Wait, are there penalties for other...
It could be. It depends on the bill. But, you could say, we're not going to give you funding if you don't do this.
And then you're going to run on the fact that we shut down an elementary school because they didn't want to put
up
a...
Republican way.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and you mentioned it...
Thank you.
What did they forget to mention in this thing? That the poster has to be written in English.
Oh, I got it!
You did get it.
Nice work, Jessica.
Yep.
I am smart.
Which means you could technically, as I... already asked Chaz Stevens. He was the activist from Florida. He's already on top of it. He made Arabic language signs already.
Yeah.
He's ready to go if this bill passes.
You got it, bud.
You could do it in Klingon. You could do it in whatever language you want. Mm. but to quote a federal judge who once declared this sort of thing illegal, there is no context plausibly suggesting that this plainly religious message has any broader secular meaning.
God, I love when judges are just like, listen, dude, we see what you are doing. Because it feels so often that we see judges being like, yeah, that Joe Kennedy's rights were being, playing the game with them.
Mm-hmm.
I love this, hey, guy, I can read this thing.
What's the purpose of this? There is none. There's no educational benefit to telling kids they can't have other gods before the one true Christian God,
mm-hmm.
or that they can't make false idols or take God's name in vain, mm-hmm. or have sex with people they're not married to, or anything like
that. That's one of them?
Don't covet your neighbor's wife.
Oh, I thought that was don't be jealous.
That too. I don't know. Do kindergartners really need to be told not to commit adultery? I feel like if I read that in a kid's book, the right-wingers would want to ban it.
Also, I feel like we don't point out enough that it's don't covet your neighbor's wife, which applies that the reader is male because it's a heteronormative thing. Mm-hmm. So I would argue this doesn't apply to women.
This is in Oklahoma, by the way.
Excuse me, that was a really cool observation I made, and I just need you to take a beat and be like, Jess, you're valuable to this podcast.
I'm still stuck on the Oklahoma, and I resent you for it. Yep.
Yeah.
It's obviously illegal. But the thing that's really fascinating about this is in Oklahoma, teachers went on strike in 2018. They never said, you know what we are striking for? We want more Jesus in the classroom.
Mm.
They fought. This is from a news article. Oklahoma's is going through teacher shortages, and it's gotten worse. Emergency teacher certifications have more than doubled since that walkout in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
The state almost quadrupled its use of adjunct teachers in the 2021-2022 school year.
Perfect.
Those
into
are teachers it. Who are not held to any state requirements when it comes to teaching certifications. Some teachers did see pay increases and increased classroom funding over the last 5 years, partly because they were striking, and even Republicans are like, all right, we got to do something.
Have we talked about Texas lawmakers are making school days 4 days a week as an incentive to bring teachers in hey, 4 day weeks because they can't pay them more, so they'll just give them a day off. Anyway, capitalism is going good. Yep. Go ahead.
Oklahoma, but no matter, even if you're paying teachers a little more, Oklahoma still ranks in the bottom half of all states when it comes to pay, even with the raises, and per pupil spending is still among the lowest in the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the same state where a Ten Commandments monument was erected on the Capitol grounds of Oklahoma, and it was declared unconstitutional in 2015. In 2016,
that was 2015.
I know, but in 2016, there was then an attempt to repeal. The reason it was declared unconstitutional is because Oklahoma's constitution says you can't do this shit. there's church-state separation. Uh-huh. So Republican lawmakers said, we're going to put that on a ballot and say, why don't we cross out that part of our Constitution? And in 2016, voters in Oklahoma rejected that repeal.
How and can then, you in good faith think this is a good way to capitalize on your power?
I know. And then what did Republicans do after voters are like, no, 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 we like church-state separation? They drafted a bill allowing displays of historically significant documents, including the Ten Commandments, to go up in public spaces. That bill failed, too. Like, they still couldn't get that passed because enough Republicans in Oklahoma are like, we don't want to play this game.
I'm very curious and to now see this how this election shakes
out. And now this idiot is doing this. Jim Olson, by the way, the guy who sponsored this, his whole career has been, how can I make your life worse? He's sponsored
my
bills.
My life personally?
Everybody's great. Life. He's sponsored bills to punish doctors who provide health care to women, reduce the penalty for people unlawfully carrying weapons.
Well, they need it.
He wanted to ban the teaching of the 1619 Project.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
He cited, hate to hear about history.
He also, there was a bill that would ban corporal punishment, spanking, paddling, slapping, for disabled students in school. And he opposed that bill.
On what grounds?
Because the Bible says,
no,
you know,
it doesn't.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Child.
Yeah. To hit disabled
a
kids.
Monster.
Yeah.
A fucking monster.
The one support.
What's this guy's name?
Jim Olson. Jim Olson has an ally, of course, in the state superintendent of public instruction, Ryan Walters, the Christian nationalist who is all of these things.
He shares a name with the guy who played saxophone I went to seventh grade with.
Yes. He.
I hope he listens one day.
Ryan Walters has already approved the nation's first religious charter school, which is currently being debated in court.
Talked about
he promoted PragerU material in school. He formed a faith committee to examine prayer in public school. It was that committee that said we should totally put the Ten Commandments in every classroom.
What was?
Because that committee only has Christians on it.
He said, oh God, should I even get into this? To examine public schools? Like, what was the survey?
Yeah, he formed
survey?
A faith committee to examine prayer in public schools.
To what extent?
He just emailed his buddies and said, come on board. We'll give you an official title.
But to what end? Like, what is he trying to prove something?
That Christianity will win. And then those friends
but
of his said, we know what we could do. Why don't we put the Ten Commandments in every classroom, which is illegal, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, Jim Olson's now acting on it.
People were as much zealots about putting the Constitution up everywhere, the Bill of Rights up everywhere, instead of their dumbass fucking
they would see the 14th
idols.
Amendment and be like, what? There was one Representative Mickey Dolenz, who is a Democrat in Oklahoma.
Excuse me, Mickey Dolenz, the monkey?
That's correct. He is an Oklahoma Democrat. And they have like three of them. And he said on Twitter, he was pretty opposed to all of this. He said, Jim Olson, who cited the Bible on the House floor to justify the spanking of children with disabilities, has introduced a bill that would mandate the display of the Ten Commandments, yada, yada, yada. Christian nationalist politicians believe they have divine authority to enact laws based on their interpretation of the Bible, forcing their religious beliefs on society. This is unconstitutional, exclusionary, and dangerous. By endorsing a state-sanctioned religion, they undermine the foundational principle of religious freedom upon which the United States was built. Which is nice.
Wow.
If only there were, like, more of him. There are not.
But, I mean, I feel like we're seeing... Listen, far be it from me to be optimistic about anything, but it seems like we're hitting a sort of tipping point of the populace is no longer supporting these.
Hey, when you gerrymander your way into power and when you have enough Republicans to keep you there.
And I know this is maybe naive or whatever, but like if three quarters of Oklahomans are cool with whatever, what was it, abortion or gay marriage or something like that. Like, at what point do the Republicans have to look around and be like, we can't gerrymander our way out of just being a minority
They're
population?
They're going to find out soon in Wisconsin.
I mean, truly, like, isn't that, like, is this just the dying gasps of a...
I try to hold on to whatever power you have. That's what Trump is doing now, too.
Yeah, I guess
By the way, Chaz Stevens, I mentioned, he had already written up an Arabic version of the Ten Commandments poster. I want to show you one other one if you want to come look at this. This is another poster he made. He said, oh, it has to be legible. All right. And it's all in English. but he just very much highlighted the words kill, adultery, steal, just for shits and giggles. And no other word is highlighted to that because it doesn't
say. I sure like that a whole lot because it's not just highlighted. It is like word arted.
Yeah. I should also mention Texas tried to pass a bill just like this Ten Commandments thing.
Yeah, that sounded familiar.
Year. And at the time, Democratic lawmaker James Tallarico really did a wonderful job dismantling all the arguments for why it needed to be in the classroom, basically saying, I'm a Christian, but I have a question about why do you think they need to be told the first four commandments? Why do they need to be taught about this?
Yeah.
And the lady who sponsored the bill had no good answers.
Really?
And that bill didn't go anywhere.
You would think they would have like a little, well, I guess they're just not ever expecting.
They haven't thought of, they haven't read the commandments. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, and they're never expecting anybody to push back because they think they're Christian and they get whatever they want.
Correct.
Ugh, I hate it.
I got one last story for you here.
Great.
And this is an article that was in the New York Times that, I'm glad they did it. I wish it was more than it was.
Okay.
But it involved the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. That was the private school that back in March of last year, there was a shooter who murdered three children and three adults. And it was a private Christian school where this happened.
How terrible is it that I just completely forgot about that?
Well, there's been another one today as we speak. I mean, yeah unfortunately.
Wait, in Iowa, right?
Yeah, in Iowa today. But yeah, so at the time, the fear was that, you know, it didn't matter that this happened at a private Christian school because this was Tennessee, and Republicans in Tennessee have no desire to do anything to protect children. We knew that. This is a group of people that just passed a law banning drag shows in the name of child safety. Mm. They weren't going to do anything useful.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do anything in response to even this tragedy.
It's so infuriating what they're fucking... These people are spending their time trying to put up signs in classrooms and banning men in dresses from reading to their children when their children are getting murdered in their schools. Like, how can they not...
Right.
How can they grab onto the least important shit ever?
Don't worry. They did propose a bill, Republicans
arming
in Tennessee.
Teachers.
Lower the age to legally carry a handgun in public from 21 to 18. So here's the thing. The New York Times ran an article.
Are they... Is it...
next year they'll lower it to 8.
But, like, it just... People want guns. If we give people guns, they'll vote for us. Is that all they think?
They think more guns is more safety.
Do they really think that, though?
I think they really think that because they're insane.
But, like, I know, of course, but, like, couldn't they see the numbers of when the assault weapon ban expired?
They don't do numbers.
Like, how?
They don't.
Why
do
they think that? I just don't understand how somebody can look at what is happening in this country and be like, yeah, the problem is we don't have enough guns.
Well, if you had more guns, you would solve the problems of the bad people with guns because they all think they're good people with guns, even though they're not.
Yeah, but, like, what about drive-by shootings? What about, like, somebody just walking down a street
Asian Jesus.
My student...
They'll find reason to be mad about anything.
My student showed up to help me at the barn and told me that she was in school for her one final in the morning but got stuck in school for, like, several hours because there was a shooting at a nearby bar. I learned more about this shooting at a nearby bar in Wheaton that happened at 9 a.m. and it was over. Go ahead.
Bar? Jesus.
At 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m.?
Mm-hmm. And somebody died.
I don't know where to begin.
Leftover pizza.
Hmm.
So if you guys think that kind of thing is worth somebody dying over, then yeah, fine. Give everybody fucking guns. And if anybody pisses... Lord knows if you're going to give everybody guns and the kind of people who go into restaurants and abuse servers, you think that's going to go good for y'all? Like, what are they doing?
So on to the story here. So here's the story in the New York... Yeah, I was mad in March. So here's the news story. The New York Times published an article about some of the parents who sent their kids to the Covenant School. So they were directly impacted by this, even if their kids were not the literal victims, but they are... Victims in a different way.
Certainly victims.
So they said a lot of these parents believed that lawmakers who might have ignored this issue in the past would at least listen to them when it comes to gun safety. Here's an example of the article.
Sandy Hook, anyone?
Here's from the article. Mary Joyce and other Covenant parents felt they stood a better chance than anyone at cutting through the divisions on gun control. Among these parents, were former Republican aides, gun owners, and lifelong conservatives who could afford to spend days at the legislature. And I'll just stop there because you already know where this story is going. I know where this is going. You know where it's going. Our listeners know where this is going. It's the only people who don't seem to know where this is going are these parents.
I mean, it's I never thought the leopard eating your face party would eat my face.
Yes. They thought that being conservative Christian Republicans, almost all white, who had a history of prioritizing guns over people, would grant them some kind of power that everyone else didn't possess, that lawmakers would see, look, this isn't just liberals doing some gun grab and trying to take away your constitutional rights. Like, all of us want safety measures that are in all of our best interests, which is the sort of bullshit you could only believe if you were fed a steady stream of conservative propaganda in your media diet.
It absolutely truly is. I think it has to do, and like, it kind of on top of that leopard eating my face party, there is a, and you hear victims say this all the time, I never thought it could happen to me. Nobody ever thinks it can happen to them. It's the thing that happens to other people.
Yeah.
But the guy who officiated my wedding, his brother got shot to death over a stupid argument. Like, this is touching everybody's lives, and only narcissists think it won't touch theirs. And frankly, look at what they're doing. This is a party of narcissists who think that they are the stars of the show. They're the main character. And, oh, those kids who got killed in Texas, well, what did they do wrong? Like, it's nonsense.
Here's
and
what they
I
were,
hope they all feel.
Here's what these parents were asking for. They said they were calling for sensible action that would have prevented this particular shooter who had mental health issues from, quote, legally purchasing 7 firearms. They thought they could make some leeway on that. Like, if you have a mental health issue, that person should be red flagged and not allowed to purchase guns. Lawmakers ignored them. It didn't matter that one of these parents was a Southern Baptist Convention leader and a former executive director of the state Republican Party who owned a ton of guns, or that his argument to prevent gun violence was all about being pro-life. It didn't matter. Yep. He did that. It didn't matter.
It's almost like you can't be both of those things.
Uh-huh. It didn't matter that they argued against another GOP proposal to let certain gun owners take handguns onto school campuses because they were like, this is going to further traumatize our kids. The heartless Republican lawmakers ignored them, did nothing, because of course they did. Here's from the article again. It was demoralizing, some of the mothers said, to be talked down to see lawmakers who had sympathized with their pain in private still vote against them in public. Did you know, the parents asked one another, that it was like this? How did I not know? Hold on. And then, ultimately, the legislature sent the governor.
You know, I have a gay nephew? Gay people aren't bad after all.
The legislature sent the governor a few policy bills, but none that the Covenant parents had prioritized passed. When is it going to be the right group of people that gets affected for someone to listen? Miss Joyce asked on the final day, adding, I thought we were close enough to their children. And here's the thing. I really don't want to condemn these parents bared their souls to do the right thing.
I'm being an absolute bitch
because
to them.
Because if you want them to change their views and do the right thing, which they are doing here, kind of, I mean, it's something, then you got to give them some leeway to allow them to be wrong in the past, right? Like, it's more than we can expect from Republicans.
Yes.
So we can appreciate that they're trying now that it personally affected them. And yet, this is what bothered me about the article. There's nothing in the article that suggests these people are going to stop voting for a Republican Party that is beholden to gun lobbyists. They might support, like, political challengers willing to compromise on guns. That was in the article. But they're not openly saying they'll vote for Democrats who actually want to take action, including the two black guys and the one white woman who were kicked out of the legislature after they protested the lack of gun reform in this very legislature. Are they going to vote for people like that? The article didn't ask, or maybe they did, but it wasn't in there. So I don't know. I kind of want to know, because unless I know the answer to that, I really can't take their claims here seriously.
I mean, listen, Sandy Hook was 12 years ago now. So I think we have far since passed the right demographic needs to be hit. Because, right, those were mostly white, pretty affluent people in Sandy Hook who lost their kids, and nothing happened off the backs of that.
As the saying went, like, if it happened to, like, kindergartners, first graders, whatever, if that didn't bother Republicans, then why would anything else?
And frankly, I think
the only kids they care about is the ones that don't exist.
Or their own personal children. And
debatable.
Like, yeah, I mean, Ted Cruz for sure doesn't. I'm so sad and I'm so angry because this is, you know what it feels like? It's like the fucking Titan submarine thing of like, yeah, of course I'm sad these people died, but I'm also angry because there is no reason we should have gotten to this point.
Yeah. I did wonder, what does it say about these parents that they thought they could talk sense into these lawmakers?
Because they think
it implies,
everyone thinks they're special, Hammond.
It implies that they were kind of okay with the fact that Republicans did not listen to victims who were not white, wealthy, LGBTQ,
correct,
went to public schools, whatever. It's not like they changed their positions, like you said, after Sandy Hook or after Pulse or after every other mass shooting.
People tried to demonize Breonna Taylor, who got murdered while she was laying in her own bed. Like, mm-hmm. These people don't give a shit about humanity unless it's their own.
Yeah. The solution is not having conservative Christians like these urge lawmakers to take the same actions that other groups couldn't get them to take in the past.
It's
voting
GOP
out everyone in the party that puts guns over people. And again, so far, none of these activists seem to have any plan to do that. They did not personally say they would vote for progressive Democrats.
No.
They did not say they were taking any meaningful steps to encourage their conservative Christian friends
their kids
to do the same.
Die. They were just hopelessly traumatized. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do something crazy like vote for a Democrat.
Yeah. But, like, they weren't going to try to convince their pastors or anything to change their positions and convince their churches to go against it either. So, again, if they're trying to convince Republican lawmakers, of course they're not going to get anywhere. So there are things that are within their power to control. And, again, without that information, without knowing if these people care enough about this issue that they're going to raise hell in their conservative Christian churches or vote for a Democrat who agrees with them on this issue, even if they disagree on everything else, I don't know how seriously they take it.
Well, and while this is victim blamey, there is that expression of like, you teach people how to treat you. And I think to some extent, the GOP has learned that there is not a price to pay for children who died. There's not really a price to pay for soldiers who died. There's really only immediately what's happening now. And like, it's so fucking exhausting that like somebody can go through this and I don't know. I'm just sad that people don't want the best for each other.
Yeah. I appreciate that they're trying to do something, but if they keep electing the people that are the cause of the problem they are trying to solve, there's no reason to think
like if you're
will change.
Voting for a party, your children are killed in school and you're mad about it, but you don't vote against the party that put a lot of shit into place that allowed this to happen, mm-hmm. then is it a lack of being able to objectively examine your own choices? Is it a lack of understanding the scope of effects? I don't know, but it makes me deeply sad that people genuinely don't give a shit about almost anything unless they personally have gone through it. And even then, apparently, it's not enough.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
It's frustrating. Mm. And with that...
Oh, boy.
I know. Where do we find you?
Honestly, kind of... friendly. Yeah, just fucking stay away. I'm on Facebook. If you join... I'm trying to be on Discord. People message me once in a while, and I remember, and then I pop in, and I don't know. It's fun.
You can support us at patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. Mm-hmm. Leave a review.
And I actually am leaving kind of an anti-review, I guess. This is from Aaron Davis, sent this to our Patreon. Hey, I've been listening to the show since shortly before... Oh, wait, did we do this already?
Yeah, we did.
Can you read stuff like this on the podcast instead of the reviews?
Yeah.
Oh, you read that? Oh, God damn it. Fuck, I just remembered
seeing
something like
that. You know, if you listen
like
to that, this very show...
You fuck you. God, mm-hmm. Sorry, Aaron. I was listening. I just remembered that you had written and I found your email and I didn't read it. I'm sorry, but thank you. It genuinely meant a lot for me. And in repentance, I'm going to go ahead and read a shitty review about me, Hammond. Where can we find you?
You can find me at friendlyatheist.com for stories. You could subscribe on there as well. Go on YouTube, Friendly Atheist. You could do all the things. I don't know when our next episode will be out, but if you like your Friday crosswords, next Friday's will be mine. It has some fun long entries. Do it.
This is from King Clutch 2003.
Yes.
3 stars. He needs a new co-host, period. I agree with the sentiments, but I find her super irritating, period. So lovely, that was my repentance for fucking up Aaron's very sweet email.
In the bonus episode.
I told you Mikey and I watched all three 50 Shades of Grey. I have some thoughts. We watched today Taskmaster, which is a show I've talked about a lot. Everybody should go on YouTube and watch it. It's the funniest shit of all time. It's a British comedy show. They had a New Year's special. Actually, I don't have a lot to say about it. It was just very funny. Go watch that. And then I literally 5 minutes before you got here, I finished the second season of The Curious Case of Natalia Grace, which is a HBO on HBO about a couple who adopted a little girl with dwarfism from the Ukraine and then accused her of being an adult. And it is fucked up and infuriating. And Michael, the adoptive dad, is genuinely one of the most enraging human beings I've ever even been near. And I also saw Poor Things, which is the new, I can never say his name. He's a Greek filmmaker, but it's with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo is in it, and I loved it. And that's it. You can always email at friendlyatheist. Wow. Always email us at friendlyatheist@gmail.com.
Friendlyatheistpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm not even drunk. I'm just an idiot, I guess. All right. Sorry, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.